The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jim, and JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty!
It's time to get this party started tonight!
Come down and find this recording and understand how brutal we are as humans.
Tell us about these humans. Example.
Terrific.
Well, here's some evidence.
This is called the diving dolphin.
The diving dolphin? What happened?
Well, I ended up getting a hernia. You kind of wore it. Kind of like your ring. You put it over your thing, and then it vibrated, and the woman sits on top of you. Well, anyway, that was it worked brilliantly well, except I got a hernia because it hurt like hell.
Was that?
But I stuck with it. I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna stick with it." And I was. I couldn't tell the club.
And you should have talked to your own club down when you looked down and saw that you were getting a hernia.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a sports hernia.
Well,
that's how you define it.
The club called it.
Wow. So was that? Did you need surgery for that one?
Huh?
Do you need surgery for that one?
Yes.
So, and how many weeks did you miss of action?
Oh, a month and a half.
For football?
was this reported in the news? Like superstar goalkeeper Craig Forrest suffers a hernia and has to have surgery.
Mishap.
We could update that story 30 years later.
Yeah.
We could.
Due to
for a two-year shag.
You know what, Craig? I don't know whether this makes it to the pod or not, but I really hope it does. It's entirely up to you. But that's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking last night about you.
That
you,
is true.
You do need to write a book. That would do very well, I think, in Canadian sports book sales. Those kind of stories like that.
From Coquitlam to the diving dolphin.
Amazing.
Who knew?
We're going to have to look up what a diving dolphin looks
like. I know.
Like.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Dubs is intrigued.
I am.
Well, you won't get a hernia. I know that much.
Was there a blowhole?
Pardon?
What?
Was there a blowhole?
A blowhole? What a fucking whale.
Max, what is the name?
Dolphins have holes.
I know, but not my diving whale? Dolphin. I know blowhole.
I'd need a diving whale. That's for sure.
Wow.
Max,
no, that's not the case.
Max, did you name it Flipper?
Yeah, faster than lightning.
Craig, what are you thinking? Is this making the show or not?
I don't care.
Wow, okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we should do a warning before this one for sure.
Oh, we always do a warning.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we found the diving dolphin. There it is.
Oh. Oh,
that's not far off. That's not far off. Yeah.
Wait, zoom in.
That's a charm size, the whole thing, though, right?
What the hell?
Thin like a pencil, charms.
It's wired, though. You think it'd be wireless, wouldn't you? Based not in those days, I guess not. When Craig was using
it says clitoral and testicular stimulator. Well, maybe that's why I got testicular cancer.
That was the reason.
God.
Wow, this is not how I imagined today's show would start.
It was all the radiation.
Max, how much was it back in 1985?
How much?
Yeah.
I don't know. Good question.
He was a Premier League footballer. He wasn't paying for it. He was probably giving it. All the sex toys.
Oh, he was giving it.
You know, we're going to have a picture of Craig with the toy as the endorser.
That's a good
right?
sponsor.
Like just it picturing it, like it standing is. There with it. We're going to have to figure that out.
Do you think West Ham fans get pissed off? Some fans get upset that their goalkeeper missed a month and a half. Do you think the club would be everyone's left now? I wonder if there's anyone out there thinking, fucker, he lied to us.
I wonder.
One way to find out.
Mm-hmm. But imagine the size of it back then, right? Like it would have been like, it was like the way that technology is advanced and iPhones and MacBooks and where we are now and how small things are. I'm not talking about Craig. I'm talking about the device. Like, this thing must have been huge and taken, like, I don't know, 64 batteries.
In gasoline?
Made of real dolphin.
Oh.
Yeah, it was gasoline.
Like the size of the first cell phone.
Yeah, it looks a little more sleek now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many athletes, pro footballers, do lie about their injuries. Lots, right? They tweak themselves doing something, could be anything, outside the football pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other stories you can think of? Any of you? Teammates, yourself? Did you lie ever, Jimmy, to your club?
Yeah, if you had a little niggle that you picked up doing something.
Like what?
Getting out of your car?
Just doing whatever. Then you come on the training pitch and you go for a run and you're like, oh, Jesus, my hamstring.
I thought about it after the 9-0 game when we played Spurs next. I nearly booked a hamstring in. Didn't really want to face Klinsmann, but I did.
Wasn't that a draw afterwards?
With Spurs? No, we lost 4-1.
Oh, 4-1, that's right.
That was a good week for you, 13-1 overall.
Yeah. Klinsmann scored in the second minute. I thought, well, this is going to be 9-0 again. Stacks,
when you played Man United and you lost 9-0, by any chance did you have the dolphin on?
I mean, yeah, I went home and battered that dolphin.
That was usually to begin with. Dubs, how about you? Any lies to your former coaches, clubs, over injuries?
Well, there was one. Wait, I just heard an echo. That was weird. You guys hear that?
Yeah.
Yes, ghost.
Yeah. When I was early days, when I was pregnant, and then I had like a foot thing happening, and had to go for some scans, and probably would have been okay to go to a national team camp, but I maybe fudged the severity of it and skipped it until I could kind of confirm, because I'd had a miscarriage and was maybe a little bit delicate at that point to reveal it. So I kept it to myself and then only told them when I was out of the first trimester.
Does that say a lot about the game back then that you couldn't tell them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You literally were concerned that you would lose your spot, your place, because you were pregnant or possibly pregnant.
Perhaps, like as an underlying kind of concern. But I think first and foremost at that point was we were going to train in high heat. And everything that I'd read, and there was so little information about high performing athletes and pregnancy and what you could do safely. But what I'd read was that really hot temperatures and humidity, but the heat in particular, could maybe have negative effects on carrying a baby and the fetus at that point. So it was more my own personal concern than anything else.
I bet it still happens.
Yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. Especially now it's more professional. There's more money in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a topic that's taken a turn from dolphin to... Wow. Are we moving on now from the dolphin? Are we prepared to move on?
Hold on. Can I add something?
Yeah.
So this wasn't necessarily professional sports, but it was professional serving about 15 years ago. I was working at a restaurant and someone got tickets for something. I think it was a concert or something. And I'm like, oh, I want to go, but I was stuck working. So I'm like, shit, how do I get out of this? So I called work and I'm like, what's the one thing I can get? I'm like, oh, I have pink eye. They're like, well, you got to come in and show us. I'm like, fuck. So, oh, pardon my language. So anyway, I walk in, I go past the bar, I grab a couple of lemons and I run downstairs to change. I go into the change room. I rub a lemon in my eye to get it super red and it's like all puffy. And I come up, I'm like, hey, see you. They're like, oh, get out of the restaurant. And then I went to the concert.
Nice, with a gammy eye. Yeah. You know what I did last week? This is true. I found what I thought were eye drops at home.
Oh, God.
And I put one in my right eye. It turns out they were eardrops. Oh. The pain. Yeah, I thought I'd burnt my freaking retina out. It was so painful. It looks just the same. Puff has got huge, big writing eardrops on it. Oh, by the way, I should, before I forget, the whole thing about my wonderful wife cutting her spaghetti.
Yeah.
It's taken on a bit of a life of its own. People very judgmental. So I told her this. And you know when your missus gives you that look of like, I hate every essence of your soul? She gave me that look. And she goes, well, the truth is I only do that when you make the sauce too fucking runny. And then she reminded me that often she is a spoon twirler.
Oh.
Which I don't do. She goes, I'm a sloppy Englishman who would never do that. And I don't. I use a fork on the plate, not the spoon. So she's actually her first go. She's more of a spoon twirler. But when I mess up the sauce, apparently, which I do, according to her, she has to chop it up. So just thought I'd throw that in. I promised the supporters out there, DDC especially, who was very passionate about his opinion on such things.
And there was some confusion as well, because people were like, ketchup with pies, like maybe some brown sauce. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is what I would do because Mrs. Pies is cutting up her spaghetti.
And for the record, I'm fine. People want to put ketchup on pies. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's no different to HP sauce, really, which is also great on pies.
Yeah.
But there you have it. Anyway. All right. Shall we move on?
Yes.
Where's Wonga gone? We lost Wonga.
I don't know.
He's going to get a diving dolphin.
Yeah, exactly. He's ordering right now.
Should have a warning on it.
It should have may cause hernias.
Like Sharms' eye drops.
Yeah, exactly.
He left at the conference and thought he could get in. He's like,
man, this is off the rails Friday, yes, for sure.
It is, yeah.
Okay, let's get to some Monger's whale sack. We have lots to get to today. Monger isn't here right now. He'll pop back at some point. So JC, throw one up there. Okay. This is actually for Monger, actually. But he's actually sending me a text here. What's he saying? Oh, he's having tech difficulties. All right. Ian McDonald says, awestruckness. New word, patent pending, and I'm claiming it. Claimifying it. Thanks, Wonga, but please consult my solicitor prior to or adjacent to any further usage. Yeah, we like making up words in this show, apparently. Wonga especially. Mm-hmm. Awestruckness. It's a good one.
It is. Yeah. Do you remember that time he said braggadocious and we challenged him on it, but it's actually a word? So sometimes Wonga does come up with some good ones.
He does, even though this wasn't his, it was Ian's, who's got the patent pending. So
right. Expect claimifying.
Assist letter from his lawyer anytime now. Next up, JC, what we got? Okay, John Burns says, I want to see Canadian commentators talk about a pathway for Canada at the World Cup. Not a, well, we can get 4 points. Canada wins their group. They get to remain in Vancouver. That's the pathway I'm talking about. Discussing the absolute minimum is nice and all, but if the top four ranked teams get a pathway, if they win, why not discussing the same for the hosts of the tournament? Come on, Canadian commentators. Let's not act as if you've just checked the betting lines before each match. Get out there and start cheering. Go, Canada, go. We can talk pathways, but there's so many possibilities, especially with three teams. Well, the top eight third-place teams also qualifying for the next round. And the top four teams have this easier pathway. It's been done that way, right, Craig? So I understand what the listener's saying that I do. And we could, but it's just so much first, second. It's very difficult to really plan out a pathway beyond maybe the round of 32.
Yeah, if they win the group, you can see a pathway a little bit more clearly. But if they finish second, all bets are off. Like, I don't know where they end up, in Kansas City or something. Like it's and if they finish third, and who knows where they end up. But the goal has to be to win the group. I don't care how tough it is. Win the group, stay in Vancouver. Win the 30 round of 32, stay in Vancouver.
Pretty simple, isn't it? That's the goal. But the goal is to win each game as well anyway. So in which case you do that, you win the group. Win the group. We don't even know who's in the group. Is Italy in there? Is it Wales? Is it Bosnia?
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Jesse Marsh was talking to Herc Gomez, friend of the show, yesterday. And he was saying he thinks Canada has the toughest group. And that's presuming that Italy emerges out of that European playoff, right?
Of course he is.
And it is. When you look at the pots and like where you would go. So he's saying, you know, Canada's meant to be a pot one team as a co-host. But Italy would really be the true pot one team if they come out of that playoff. And then you've got Switzerland as the pot two, Qatar as a pot three, and maybe Canada is flip-flop there, and we're actually a pot four team. So it's all almost upside down when you look at it.
Yeah, it is. He said that the group of death changed. There's no real group of death anymore with this format.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really the group of death anymore. But there's more difficult groups for sure. I mean, I understand why he'll say that. I mean, it makes complete sense. He has to say that, really, doesn't he? You know, set the expectations. But I think I'm looking at groups now. There's some pretty tough groups there. What do you think, Jimmy? Is it the toughest group? If say it's Italy, then Canada suddenly essentially a pot four team, right? Is what he's saying, right, Dubs?
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider that?
If Italy comes through, it'll be tough. That's for sure. And look, Switzerland, we know, is a tournament team. They'll show up only when it comes to a World Cup or Euros. But, you know, with Italy as well, they're a good side. I mean, they had, they finished with 18 points. If they were in any other group, they would have qualified for the World Cup, except for Norway was on absolute fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason why Italy's in the situation that they are right now. Yeah. Gattuso was losing his mind because he was more or less saying, this is ridiculous. Like, we should be in the World Cup right now, finishing on 18 points. They finished with more points than a lot of other teams that qualified for the World Cup. And now they got to go through our qualifying stages. So, they're frustrated. You expect Italy to come through. But with Italy and Switzerland, that's two very tough games.
Mm-hmm. Gattuso was also pissed because he heard about Tony cutting her spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, did you ever see the one with, I think it was De Rossi, and he's sitting with Roy Keane. It was on an overlap. And they're all having pasta. And De Rossi's like talking. And Roy Keane starts cutting his pasta. Oh. And then De Rossi's about to eat. He looks at him in absolute disgust.
That's amazing. You have to look that up.
That's amazing. I'm not surprised Roy Keane cuts his pasta, though. Not surprising at all. Group I, just to stay with that. I mean, France, Senegal, Norway, and then the another path two winner, which would be Iraq against the winner of Bolivia, Suriname. That's a tough group as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough group.
And if Canada tops the group, Group B, they'll face the third place team of either Group E, F, G, I or J. So one of those teams could emerge as the best third place team.
But that's an example right there why it's so hard to guess pathways, because, okay, the third place team out of all those, like,
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was tough with 32, but 48 is impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some tough groups. It really is. A, E, I, O, U is really, I mean, all those groups are tough.
Why?
Why, Canada? Why?
E-I-O-E-O.
God,
I don't know. I had to.
He didn't have to. Didn't have to. Okay, well, next one. Where's Wonga? He's having some real technical issues, isn't he?
He's behind the scenes right now, putting stuff in the to be posted or to be shown.
Okay. Next up there, JC.
Well, speaking of Dolphins.
Yeah, I'll read half of it. I think you get the first paragraph. So this is from Gord Wilkes. Rolling around on the field, pretending like you've been shot is a delicate yet important part of the game's dark arts. I say, let's match up when we got to match up when it comes to rolling around on the field. LOL. Jimmy has a vision of the game that's based on high trust, a strong work ethic, and Protestant sensibilities. I 100% agree. But I don't want to see it. I, at the same time, if you don't partially join the... Oh, can we stop doing this, Dubs? Every time. Every time we put up a graphic, you feel the need to slink down. Like, we know. We know you're placed on the screen here. But yes, is it naivety, Jimmy, to expect no diving, no embellishment, or should we just embrace it and live by the sword and die by the sword?
All I'm saying is I don't like it. I hate it. I absolutely do not like it whatsoever. Yes, it's part of the game. It's a part of all sports, whether you're watching basketball, hockey. They're all drawing fouls, but I don't like it. I think it takes away from the integrity of the game.
If you were coaching Canada, would you say be strong with your integrity, or would you be saying, no, what the hell? You guys have got to try and earn what you can earn, and that means flipping in the box. You got to do it.
Well, if you're in the box and you take a knock, get down.
So it depends. You have to be clever and cynical.
I don't like it at all. I really hate it.
Have you heard Arne Slot's comments recently, including yesterday after the draw with Arsenal? He's been saying for a few weeks now that my team don't dive, we don't embellish. It's a scourge of the game. We hate it. We don't waste time, which is a bit of a stretch, but they do it less than other teams. I think it's probably fair to say than a lot of other teams. But yesterday against Arsenal, late in the match, Conor Bradley goes down, and then Martinelli kind of shoves him. Turns out Bradley could be out for the year with a knee injury. And Martinelli was saying, listen, he actually apologized afterwards. It was, I think I bought it. I don't think he was being malicious. But Slot's saying, this is what's happening now because there's so much time wasting. You can't trust anyone out there. And that's kind of what Martinelli was frustrated about, even though Arsenal time wastes with the best of them. But it was something. And just to hear Slot coming out and defend his players like that and been doing it the last number of weeks, I found it quite refreshing, even if it's not completely truthful.
I think it goes down to the way that we view the game, even from the inside, right? Like, we haven't been professional players or national team players for a long time now, but that's always kind of been ingrained in the culture of the game, is that doubt. And it obviously more ever present with certain countries who are renowned or guilty of rolling around in the embellishment and trying to sway the referees, right? And then our frustration with it. But now it's so pervasive in the game that doubt is across the board, even amongst the players, where there's that lack of trust that there's no almost compassion for your fellow player, your opponent, because you don't believe them for a second. You think that instantly they're trying to dupe the referee and they're trying to do something to pull the wool over their eyes so that they can get the advantage. And that's a bit sad, really, right? Because like the spirit of the competition is that there's that respect, and that seems to be out of the game because there's such distrust now.
Yeah, there's no respect. None. Yeah. It's disappointing. I like Jimmy said, I hate to see it as well, but unfortunately it's part of the game, and we better, get on board. You don't want to play honest football out of the World Cup. You know what I mean? Like it's, I hate to say it, but like during the Gold Cup, I said to Carlo, when if he gets in the box and there's any challenges, like hit the fucking deck, like get down, let the referee make a decision, give him something to think about.
Okay. Craig, I get that to a certain degree, because you don't want to see a player trying to act all tough and breaking through terrible challenges to show he's a man and not going down the box. I mean, you earn the penalty. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. What I hate more than anything is the embellishment to try and get cards and to try and, and to time waste and the rolling around and, trying to earn a free kick when it's just not a free kick. That's what does my head in more than anything.
Yeah.
Some guy gets a 50-50 ball. Some guy rolls around like Rivaldo on steroids and he's just trying to get a yellow card for the opponent. That's what really bothers me. Fouls in the box, they're so subjective. And we all see it at slow motion and it looks gratuitous, right? But often it's not. You guys know way more than me about this, but when you're in the area, not so much Craig maybe, but when you're, or even Dubs, or even Jimmy, you have no strikers here. You get my point though. When you're full speed in the box, it doesn't take much to be taken down. A little bit of contact on your ankle or your knee when you're at full pace. Mm-hmm. But you look at that in slow motion, doesn't look too bad. And that's the issue with VAR, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, and they look at it, and it's like, oh, well, there was some contact there. It's like, yeah, but was there enough contact to bring the player down? Like, if the player needed to say, like, his life was on the line to stay on his feet, he would stay on his feet, like, or she. Like, but they go down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you don't go down, the referee doesn't even do anything. Sometimes there's fouls, and the referee could give it, and the player doesn't hit the deck. It's still a foul, but they won't give it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, there was an example of that, I think, in the Prem, and there's usually examples of that where you like know where you are and be honest, have integrity and all that sort of stuff, play the game the right way, the honest way. But if you're fouled and you're in the box, go down, because otherwise you don't have a chance of getting the call. And I know that seems contradictory to everything that we're saying. So it's not like these ghost calls, you know, where players are diving, or is it the Micah Richards one where he looks like a diving dolphin? You know, he like launches himself up in the air and it always gets brought up. Like, not something like that. That's just silly. But yeah, you have to understand where you are. And if you're Canada, like I've talked about in the past, like with the national team where we actually tried diving, we practiced it. And our coach abandoned it because they're just like, you guys are ridiculous. You can't do this kind of realistically, or like nobody would believe you. But if you don't embrace it or like buy into it a little bit as a player to understand where you are on the pitch and to give your team that edge, you're going to get left behind. That's the reality of it. And it is a little bit cynical, but you have to play the game. And that's part of it now.
Game's gone. Next comment, JC.
Okay.
Oh God! Oh man, I got hit in the face with this
keyboard. Oh no! A vowel too. Why?
Shit.
Why?
Vowels. Hey, all right. Is this for you? Who's this? Dubsies or Wongers? Who's back, by the way? Hey, Wonger, you're back.
Hi. Thank you. It's not mine.
Dubsy, was it you?
I actually clipped this, but this is already in there. But I think I had mentioned it on the dark web. So this was talking about Ali Ahmed leaving MLS contenders Vancouver Whitecaps to go to the championship. And so Baldwin, yeah, 7042 said better money for Ahmed, but not a better path for his development. And then JC2269 said, I don't like it either. And if they get demoted, terrible. So I think I saw another comment as well that was saying, what is the difference? And I'll defer to Jimmy and Forrest here with their expertise playing over in England. What's the difference between Kone making the leap and playing for Watford and Ali Ahmed going to Norwich in terms of, I think, generally how that was seen?
Hmm. I don't know. I mean, Watford weren't in a relegation position, I don't think, when he went over there. So that wasn't really part of the conversation.
Right.
I mean, nothing's, you know, going to be a perfect situation. I mean, what would be perfect with Norris sitting top of the league and he goes there, but they might not want any other players. So they're needed, or they need players at Norwich, and they want an attacking creative player. And this is why they've dabbled on Ali Ahmed. So yeah, it's not a perfect situation, but that's only club, the position where they're at, but it's a tough league
to play in. I
think it's a great move for him. I really do. I mean, look, if you look at world football and you put all the leagues together, the championship's in the top 10 world leagues in the world. It's a big league that spend a lot of money. It's very competitive. And you're going to Norwich City. And I'm sure his agents probably had an escape clause. If they do get relegated, then he can move somewhere or go somewhere on a transfer. But I mean, for me, Norwich City is a place where if you go and you do well, you're going to move on. There's plenty of players that have moved from Norwich and gone on to bigger clubs. Rule Fox, Chris Sutton, Dean Ashton went to West Ham. I mean, they produce players and they sell players. Want the bigger clubs. Mm-hmm. He's got to go somewhere where he can be on a big stage at a good club. And if he does well there, he's going to go to a bigger club.
Yeah. So, and if he does well and they get relegated, they're going to offload him.
Of course. And he'll get a move.
And he'll get a move.
I mean, here's the thing. He's 25. This whole thing about development, Ali Ahmed is not a kid in football terms anymore. No. He's a guy that should be in his prime.
That's a difference too, if you're comparing and contrasting him to Kone, right?
That's my point. Kone was young.
Yeah, much younger kid.
Hadn't accomplished very much, really, at Montreal. Had really shown that he's massive potential, and that's what they were betting on, potential and a sell-on at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're getting, Norris is getting Ali Ahmed to be a contributing member of a survival push right now. He's not a kid. It's not about development anymore. I think that's a very naive way to look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe in North American terms, 25 is young. It's not in global football terms.
Yeah.
It's not in any sport. Really?
Yeah, you know, actually, let's be honest. Right. It's prime, right? 25?
Gymnastics, figure skating.
Are there any 25-year-old gymnasts out there? Probably not.
No.
Over the hill.
Yeah, way over the hill at that point. But I can empathize with a survival push as a mom to three. But I was just going to say about Norwich, you know, yes, in a relegation battle, but since Philip Clement took over, they've only lost like three of their last 10. Like, they're on a good run of form, and I see them coming out of the basement. So I don't see this as being a risky move for them, right? I said I would defer to Jimmy and Forrest here. They're the experts when it comes to this and understanding the league and what it means to play either in a championship or the Prem. But when you're comparing and contrasting clubs, yes, maybe the Vancouver Whitecaps are in a better situation where they're a team that made it to the MLS Cup final. They made it to the CONCACAF Champions final. They won their fourth Canadian championship. So maybe it's a risk in terms of the position of the club. But when you're comparing leagues and where he is in his career, what he's doing with Canada, I think it's a really great situation for Ali Ahmed.
He doesn't want to be an MLS career player. He wants to be in Europe. He always has. And I'm sorry, there's again, and MLS has, you know, grown leaps and bounds. It's a good league and it's going to get a lot better. But I'm sorry, the league championship is bigger league than MLS, considerably better league.
It is. Mm-hmm. If you look, I think it was on Opta reports, the championship sixth best league right now.
Six, is it really? And that's based on what?
Well, they look at overall performance, money, standard of play.
Yeah.
DivingDolphin.com.
Top five, Jimmy. What were the top five?
Well, the top five is going to be Premier League, Bundesliga, Serie A, La Liga, and
France.
Liga.
Liga.
Okay. Yeah, so I think there's a naivety out there.
The Estonian League?
What's that?
The Estonian Premier League is not in the top five?
Not yet.
All right.
But they're ambitious.
Yep. Promise David will tell us all about the Estonian League.
Yeah. Okay, that was good, though. It's interesting. I mean, again, all subjective, but at 25, if he's not going to make the move now, when he's just reached a final and his stock's really high, I don't know when he's going to make the jump. And also out of contract, by the way, next year, entering the final year, wasn't he, I believe? So Vancouver had no choice but to cash in on him, really. What's that, Wonga?
What do you say after this? Clip that.
Yes, that's right. Clip it.
That's what Forrest said.
Okay, JC, next up.
Okay. This is a clarification on a fun trivia.
Oh, yeah. This is Edward Han Sing Wong, who reached out to me on Blue Sky. And I had questioned, just because it's just called Camp Poutine. And I was like, I don't really know why. And so Edward clarified the fact that it's named that in response to the American domestic camp being called Camp Cupcake. So I appreciate that. And he said, keep up the great work with the show to all of us.
Thanks, is the American camp really called Camp Cupcake?
I believe so.
That's awful.
I know.
Landon Donovan, wasn't he Landy Cake or something like that?
Landy Cakes, yeah. Really? That's right.
It's gross.
Cupcakes American? Are they American? Cupcakes? I mean, Putin is clearly Canadian. Are cupcakes invented in the States, just like pizza?
I don't know.
I'd much rather be at Camp Poutine than Camp Cupcake.
Yeah.
Where are you off to? Oh, you know, Camp Cupcake. Yeah. Oh, are you? Good for you. It's 2026. Do what you want. Mm-hmm.
More sustained carbs, too, for training.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm. Maybe a bit heavy, though. Maybe a night before a carb-loading thing and cupcake right before you play. Maybe that burst poutine? Of energy.
Bowl of poutine's worse than a cupcake before a match?
If it's I had those things on the table, yeah, I'm going for the cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
Really? What about you, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
You were fit once upon a time.
Past tense.
Yeah, are you going poutine or are you going cupcake before a match?
Poutine. I don't have a sweet tooth. Yeah, I don't really like cupcakes.
Craig? I mean, goalkeepers doesn't
so
matter.
So serious.
Cupcakes. Not a poutine fan.
Really?
I'm not really either. I'm not big on poutine. I don't like it.
I think you got to get a really good one. Like, there's a place in Montreal, Amy. I don't know if you've ever been. Probably not, because it's very meat forward.
meat forward.
Meat progressive.
Yeah.
Also like Craig Forrest.
yes. We're hanging out the back. It's called Mapule Muller. I think it's in Westmount, and it's Portuguese chicken and Portuguese sausage that goes on this ridiculous, like 80 pounds of fries with cheese curds. Best. Mm-hmm. That was my first poutine where I'm like, holy shit, this is life. Poutine is life.
It's like, yeah, different level, right?
That
yeah.
sounds good, doesn't it?
So yeah. good. Lineups all the time.
I mean, I can't remember the last time I had one, but when you have one, it's done well. To me, it's all about the gravy. I mean, the cheese curds have to be authentic, but like when we were kids, a big treat, like we would spend the day at the arena because my brother would play hockey late and then all four girls were in ringette. So we'd like basically camp out. And usually my mom brought like a lunch, which was so boring. But on the occasional time she didn't have chance to make lunch, we got to eat at the little canteen. And my go-to was a frit sauce. So I foregoed the cheese and I just had like the fries with the gravy. And my God, what a treat.
You know what I like? You don't find them here. It's curry fries.
Oh, so good.
Curry fries are good. Yeah.
Curry sauce and chips.
Yeah. Our friends down at Amsterdam, that's on the menu as one of the things you can get to go with your chips.
Really?
A really good curry sauce, yeah.
Okay.
Delicious. Mm-hmm. Delicious. We spent more time talking about poutine and cupcakes than the actual question.
Yes.
That's true.
Next one, Jaycee.
This is mine. So this is, again, JC2269, second comment, big star of today's show. Mm. This is in response to my big guns. You need your big guns to be your big guns. You need your goalkeepers to come up with big saves. And you need a wild card in order to have success, talking about Canada at the World Cup. And we had mentioned Kone as a possible wild card. So This person's saying Kone can't be a wild card. He has to be our clear best center midfielder, period. And I don't disagree.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's valid for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But wouldn't he, if he was Canada's best midfielder at this World Cup, isn't that still considered a bit of a wild card in that we don't expect that really, or do we now? JC does, and I'm really close to it as well. I mean, he's really playing so well at Sassuolo. But I still think Eustachio is still the best midfielder that Canada has at the moment.
Mm-hmm. But they're two different types of players, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I think they complement each other. And I love the way that Kone plays. And when Kone is in form, I think he'll be something else this World Cup. If he plays the way that he can do and plays to his potential, I think he'll be very, very, very good.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's really this person commenting and saying it's Kone being our best midfielder, even though that may have been like the wording. I think it's alongside a steady, consistent Stephen Eustachio, who is typically one of our best players. So you have that tandem in there, makes us solid down the spine, makes us able to withstand an onslaught from the opposition, but also service from deep, going the other way, playing provider, progressing the ball, which Kone does so well. And then you have somebody else who's coming in as that wild card, ready? Whether it's off the bench or otherwise.
So Kone's too established to be the wild card. But if it's, say, Sinatan Saliba comes in, has an amazing World Cup, he could be the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good point, JC. I like that. That's a good comment. It's a very valid comment. And
a bit of an imposter, too. It's not JC, but it's JC.
I know,
JC. Yeah.
I also like the fact that he spoke in acronyms, because I saw that comment and was like, what is he talking about? Can't be a World Cup?
I thought he missed a word.
That's what I thought.
I didn't understand what he was talking about, but Dubs knew it right away. And I'm like, Dubs is a translator too.
No, it's important why we have a number of us providing comments, right? Because maybe it's speaking to some specific point that either one of us made during the pod and we're like, oh yeah, that's great. Whereas somebody else just ignores it.
There were a few of those for Wonger, actually.
Oh, I put that one in. I don't care.
I want to get to
what
that
the
one.
The hell? Do you want that
where
one?
It is, JC? Do you know where it is?
Yeah.
It's called Wonger Preface.
There she is.
Okay. From our friend at Rob Dorr. And Rob Dorr, I thought we were pals. I'm going to preface this by saying that I like Wonger. But the downside of having someone who doesn't know the game showed out in this interview, and this is the Tommy interview, Tommy had just given a great answer to the question in the role of manager versus coach with the examples, including the likes of Ancelotti and Arteta, which screamed for a follow-up, and Wenger just barges in with an unrelated new question that just killed what could have been a real insightful discussion. I mean, it's not the end of the world because it was still a great interview. It's just something to keep in mind. So, Rob, I do keep it in mind, and I thought of, I know who Arteta is. He used to date David Bowie, right? Like him and Amon. That's who Arteta was. So I just want you to know that I am.
What are you talking about?
We brought up David Bowie the other day too.
Yeah. Remember?
Well, yesterday was his birthday.
How does Arteta get involved in there?
Because he was also on. Anyways, look, I know that I have deficiencies, and in my defense, I have deficiencies. So thank you, Rob. I understand I have deficiencies, but I also like the fact that people piled on and there were three thumbs up.
No. Can I just, in Wenger's defense, just say this? When you're doing an interview with 4, 5, 6 hosts, it's extremely difficult to keep it flowing. And I mean, we all have the situation where you ask a question, you get the answer, you really want to follow up with you know, from your initial question and having listened to the answer, which, by the way, is very rare. In sports media, actual interviewers listening to questions. Anyway, I digress. Yeah. But it's very difficult because we all have our own agendas of what we want to get in there. And we only have 20, 25 minutes. And we're all kind of reading each other's body language as much as possible. Like, I know Wenger wants to get, okay, I like Wenger jump in here. Or Stubbs is looking at Craig. Okay, he's going to jump in here. Especially virtually.
Virtually is, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think we've all found... We found a fairly good chemistry virtually, but it's so much harder virtually than it is in person.
And especially interviewing one person when you have six of us or five of us or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have the interviews and it's just me.
Thanks, Sharms. I appreciate your defense.
Yeah. Still don't know where you're going with Arteta. That was
really No, I was just because he was all done up like a model. Was another one. There was another one I just wanted to clarify. I'm clicking on it. It was our friend Mark East 8005. Pescalito also played in Norwich, and he did. And Jimmy and Craig, I don't know if Jimmy was on it, but we were talking about it. But here's Paul's, our pal, and he played, according to sportingheroes.net, he played 5 league matches. So yeah. he was there for a cup of coffee.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's right. I can't believe I forgot that. But he played for like 13 different clubs.
He did. I mean, I'm going to pull it up again. But, there's Sheffield United, West Brom, Stoke City, Derby County,
Derby.
Fulham.
Oh, just Derby. You're not helping yourself, Wenger. I just love the baggy shirt and Pesh there.
I know. Jimmy was hiding in his shorts.
So was the diving dolphin.
Hanging up.
It was come up for air eventually.
he was fine.
The other one I wanted to pull up was, and it goes back to this actually.
Who was it? He? Craig. Learning so much about you.
Danny the dolphin.
I wasn't talking about the diving dolphin.
he called him Lundgren. Dolphin Lundgren. Oh. Rocky IV?
Yeah.
Very smooth.
Not smooth enough, apparently.
Sorry, the other one I wanted to pull up was the our year ender and people of the year where
rear ender
hanging out there. Our rear ender, and it was congrats to all on the 1K, all you lovely people. This is from B54BB. Sharms, please come on and guest on AFTN this year. It's a podcast out in Vancouver to chat some footy and maybe music. If you can convince Wenger to join, I'd love to hear it. And then at Tracy Smith 2005, Amy Walsh class. So once again, Amy Walsh, I'm still high on your trajectory here. I think you, yeah, yeah, it's tough.
Much like an adult.
Yeah, that was tough. All this diving dolphin talk.
Dolphin's trajectory was the issue, I think. Wonga, let's go on AFTN. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Talk some music and sports. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just guys, reach out to us. We're happy to.
Yeah.
What's AFTN? There's
somebody lifting your game, Wonga. Someone wants you as a guest.
Look, I'm an acquired taste. AFTN is a podcast. It's a podcast out west in Vancouver, I think, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. It's great. I listened to it a bunch during the Whitecaps run. Terrific.
Mm-hmm. See, our little podcast universe is growing. Mm-hmm. More and more really solid shows out there, AFTN being one of them. And we're happy to say that.
Was it stand
build and support each other?
Pardon AFTN? Me?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, it seems obvious, isn't it, Jimmy?
Dubs should be able to figure it out.
What does AFTN stand for, actually?
I don't know.
On it.
You can follow them on Twitter.
Did you have anyone? That was it for me, guys. Did you have any ones else that you wanted to pull up if you're looking at it?
We do.
It's a... abbreviation.
No, but is there one that you is there one that you are specifically wanted to use?
No, I can't remember now. Just throw anything up.
I've got one from our Tommy interview. So this is from SM441.
Another dolphin one, is it?
I don't know. I'm
our missing. Job now is to make sure it lasts.
Correct. But that was a quote from Tommy talking about the success of our men's national team and kind of its standing right now relative to world football. So his quote was, our job now is to make sure this lasts. The most important thing said, I watched the rise and fall of Chile, keep working at it and never take anything for granted.
Mm.
Mm.
Mm. Oh, by the way, AFTN stands for away from the numbers.
Oh,
that's it.
And AFTN Canada, that's the Twitter handle. Just so check it out, everyone.
That's clever.
Yep.
Not as clever as Footy Prime.
Wow, we spent a lot of time
really
dropping that one.
Hey, Sharps, how do you feel about putting Prime behind Footy? Sure, Wonger, let's do that.
Originally, it was going to be called Only Fools and Football. Remember that, Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah, Only Fools and Football, as in a little play on this famous English comedy.
Yes, Fools and I like that.
Yeah, it's good, right? I like it.
L-F-I-F.
Yeah, rolls off your tongue.
Again, dolphin reference. Anything else up there, JC? I mean, we're almost out of time here, but let's throw one up there.
Oh, she believes.
Oh, yeah, okay, here we go.
No, this is just kind of newsy. There's been a bunch of moves in the women's footballing world. We'll have a broadcast probably coming up, but the biggest one was Caitlin Sheridan leaving San Diego Wave, and she lands at North Carolina Courage. And then Boston Legacy is another one that signed a couple of Canadians. Amanda Allen being one, who spent last year with the Halifax Tides, was one of their first signings, and Bianca St. George as well. So expansion side in NWSL. But yeah, just last year, Canada won the Pinatar Cup, didn't play great competition there, seemed to kick off the year in the Casey Stoney era on the right foot, but not really challenged. So this time they're going to go into 2026 swinging against some pretty big opponents.
Pinatar Cup again, China and who else, Dubs? I remember it was...
China, Chinese Taipei, and Mexico.
Right, right.
We should mention before we leave, Jacob Schafferberg undergoing surgery.
Not good.
Was pulled out of the camp this month for Canada. 2 months, I think they're saying, for groin surgery, a degenerative condition.
Correct.
I don't like hearing that term, degenerative.
No.
Likely to do with a diving dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Schaff, is there something you want to admit here?
Mm-hmm. Shaft.
Crazy. Open the door to all these... it's like an amnesty now, like a lying amnesty. Get it off your chest, former athletes. Anything that's been living with you all these years and you felt guilty about, there's an amnesty. You can come out and admit it now to Footy Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And no one will judge you.
No judging.
no judgment at all.
Hey, and a TFC player got called up in his place, right? Oh, go ahead, Dub. Sorry.
No, no, you're saying exactly what I was going to go with, Malik Henry.
Yeah, thank you. Is this a big step for Malik Henry, Jimmy, Craig, Amy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is.
This is why people love our show. It's for the insight.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you must know him as a player. Is this a good move for him? And a guy like Corbiano gets snubbed, right? I mean, rumors that he's maybe injured or carrying a little bit of a knock coming into the preseason, but Henry's preferred over Corbiano.
Yeah, anytime you get called up to the national team, I mean, you're doing something right. And that's a reward for a player for the hard work that they've put in behind the scenes and on the pitch. And when the national team calls you up, I mean, that's the biggest reward that you can get in your career, isn't it? I mean, everybody wants to put on their national team jersey. So, yeah, it's a great step for him.
Jimmy, from a player's pathway standpoint within Toronto FC, when a young player is called up to the national team, how can that affect his pathway at his club?
How does it affect his pathway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, obviously your stock goes up once you get called up to the national team and you're playing for
within the club?
Well, not within the club. I mean, just you in general as a player. You know, you might have a valuation, but all of a sudden now you're playing international football as well. So your valuation does go up. You're regarded obviously as one of the top talented players too when you're playing in your national team. But your pathway, like, I don't understand your question. What are you saying?
he said it so confidently. Pathway.
I think from a pathway standpoint, like your next move or going somewhere else, or
I don't know your development as a footballer. That's what I'm kind of saying. You're within the club, right?
One of the things that players have to have, if you don't have a European passport. To get a work permit over there, you need to play 75% of your national team games. So if you do get your national team and you're a regular, at least 75%, you want to make a move to Europe, it's going to be much easier from a work permit standpoint.
Yeah. So that Guatemala game, what is, and we'll talk about it closer to the match, but I mean, from a Jesse Marsh standpoint, you got these younger players. Some younger, there's some veterans there as well. But what's the goal of that match, do you think, Dubs? Is it development, blooding? As much as you want to win the game, it's not your full strength squad. So wouldn't performance and development be more important than result in that one?
Yes, but it's balancing a number of things, right? Canada was ousted, I think, unexpectedly by Guatemala the last time that these two teams met, right, as part of the Gold Cup.
There's no Shaft now. He's pulled out.
Right, but maybe got shafted back then. But I think it's Jesse Marsh trying to figure out, you have a 26-player squad, let's say, even though that has yet to be confirmed, if I'm not mistaken, for the World Cup. You're trying to figure out who are your depth pieces. So I think this camp is an opportunity for players who have maybe been either in poor form for club or haven't been included in more recent rosters because you have, you know, players who are in Europe and players who are preferred and gone to for minutes and relied upon by Jesse Marsh, that they get a chance to really prove themselves and see how they do in that environment that they maybe haven't been in for a while. And a player like Henry, like his path hasn't been straightforward. Like he was chosen, I think, did a little bit of research on him in the super draft by CF Montreal. Then he went back to college. Then he played for TFC too. And then got called into the first team. So this is good from a club standpoint too for TFC, who are much maligned, I think, from a development perspective and the pathway in-house and making sure that players who are in their academy, we know like the detractors talking about their ability or their inability to recruit players in a GTA. But if once they're in the fold and in TFC too, can they be players who can make an impact on the first team? So this, I think, you know, your question to Jimmy, I think it increases his standing, not necessarily within the club, but now he's a known commodity. So, I mean, that's good for the player. So I think it's for players like him. I don't think he'll get minutes. I don't think he'll get used, but he gets a sniff of what that training environment and the expectations and what the standard of play is all about with Canada.
Yeah, it's a good point. I like the part about TFC too. You know, they do need to see more of these young players making the move and sticking around. So we'll see Mr. Malik Henry, but congratulations to him. Okay, I think we'll probably call it a day, shall we?
One more. Our very good friend of the pod, Carrie Ryan, had some wants or not on wants.
Yeah, that was another word that Wonger came up with.
I want to see a World Cup on Footy Prime theme song from the voice vendor. I unwant to see Footy Prime stay under 4,000 YouTube subscribers throughout the week. So, Carrie, I heard you loud and clear.
Oh.
And without further ado, this is the Footy Prime World Cup theme song.
Damn.
Nope, that's not it. Oh, shit. Where did it go? Hold on, I had it.
That's Where's My Money?
Christ. Hold on.
Listen, while JC finds it, we should mention here, 4,000 subs around the corner for YouTube. Yep. Now, launching today, if you signed up to our long-talked-about newsletter through wearefootyprime.com, you will be receiving a newsletter today around lunchtime. It's the first one today. We are hoping to build on it. It will grow. Essentially, it's a reminder of what you missed. If you did miss anything this previous week, there'll be a little spiel at the top, but we'll build on it. But yeah, if you haven't signed up to it, please go to wearefootyprime.com. There's a little window there, and you'll receive a lunchtime, Eastern time, newsletter every Friday. Like and subscribe to everything on every platform, please. JC, have you found it?
I have. All right. Without further ado, this is it.
Everybody, join the club. It's the World Cup on Footy Prime.
It's so seamless. We were all honestly excited about that.
I know.
You know, there is one coming.
Catch you on though.
Oh, there is one coming. At some
it's.
Point,
sure. I've got an orchestra ready to go. It's going to be great.
All right.
For now, just take out the club.
One more time, JC. Play us out with it. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Everybody, join the club. It's the World Cup on Footy Prime.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. Check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter. If we ever make one.
Remember, for us, take out the club. people said we were off the rails earlier in the week. They need to tune into this one.
Off the top of the show, too.